This is ESPN Radio.
Number three here on Canty and Gola Jr., brought to you by Loose Airport Ham. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
What is wrong with you?
So much. Chris, I hope that like by the end of this fall, you're still signed up to come back. I guess contractually, there's not much you can do there, but you've clearly learned what a maniac you work with now.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You're a good teammate. You're a team player, and that's one of the things that I love about you. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to hang around beyond football season, but I'm having so much fun breaking down the 2021 fall football, man. Like, I'm telling you, this has been a crazy year, and I feel like in the second half of the NFL slate, it's going to get a little bit wilder as we move through it.
It's been pretty incredible that in the same fall, I think we have gotten the most wide-open NFL and college football season that we've had in quite some time here. So there's a lot to dive into with that. We have had an absolute fracture in the middle of our show group that's gone on during the break that we're going to get to coming up in about 10 minutes as we near the holiday season. We want to remind you quickly before that breaks out to listen to the Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. It's available wherever you get your podcasts and brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. For a mortgage experience that you can be a fan of, Rocket can. But before all that, we had an NFL weekend come and go. We have got some things to get to. Tuesday around here at Canty and Golic Jr. means only one thing. It is time for top five, bottom five.
All right, Gojo. Well, first of all, before we even get to number five, I got to throw out an honorable mention, and that would be offensive guard Robert Hunt from Thursday Night Football for the Miami Dolphins, who caught a screen pass that was intended for Myles Gaskin and took it to the house and actually flipped over head first, extending the ball past the plane. It was ruled a touchdown, but we know it was an illegal touch, and they called the play back. But, Gojo, it was the most memorable play in a night that wasn't full of memorable plays for the Miami Dolphins offense in their upset win over the Baltimore Ravens, so much so that the Dolphins in their facility decided to wallpaper an elevator with an image of Robert Hunt breaking the plane on that touchdown catch that wasn't. So I had to throw that in there as honorable mention. It didn't make the top five because it wasn't an actual play, but I had to put that in there for my offensive lineman brethren.
No, I appreciate that, Chris. I think it should be in the top five here, but this is your list, and I'm going to respect that. I do want a brief caveat right here. Booger McFarland, I saw you break this down on Monday Night Countdown last night. I saw you try and claim that while other people call it a big man touchdown, you call it a thick six. You know where that term started. You know where you got it from. You're stealing intellectual property. And to quote the great Stephen A. Smith, you don't want to make an enemy out of me.
Wow. Laying down the gauntlet. I see you, Gocho. Okay, let's get into my list. Number five. Let's go. Let's go. Number five. Let's go. Okay. This is the latest installment of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise. That would be the Cowboys buzzing through the Atlanta Falcons this weekend on their way to a 43-3 win. Game ball goes to defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. No Randy Gregory in the lineup. Still found a way to get pressure on Matt Ryan. 12 total pressures on 23 dropbacks, two sacks, two interceptions, and forcing a season-low passer rating for his former signal caller. The Cowboys, that was a thorough beatdown and a bounce-back win after they got embarrassed by the Denver Broncos. Couldn't be more impressed with the game plan Dan Quinn came up with against his former quarterback.
Yeah, that is reminding me why revenge games are truly great in the NFL.
All right, this would be Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes, anytime you throw five touchdowns, no picks, you're going to make my top five, even though it wasn't as impressive as the box score would suggest. Mahomes still went out there and torched the Raiders' defense, took more of the checkdowns and the underneath throws early, which set up opportunities over the top later in the game. There were still a couple of turnover-worthy throws from Mahomes sprinkled in there, but all in all, he took advantage of Las Vegas' defense. It's, once again, one of those situations where we have to call Kansas City the most dangerous team in the AFC because it feels like they finally figured it out.
I am so excited down the stretch of this season to start to utter the phrase, nobody wants to see the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs.
All right, let's get to number three. Mac who? Mac Jones, that's right, the Patriots quarterback. I had to do it. It becomes the first rookie quarterback in Patriots history to throw for 3 touchdowns and no interceptions, posted a 142.1 passer rating against the defense that held Joe Burrow to a 69 passer rating the week prior. Nice. Of the 7 drives he had under center, the Pats offense went touchdown, 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 field goal, punt, touchdown, touchdown. Oh. 3 of those drives were 83 yards or longer. I know Josh McDaniels has done a good job of keeping the guardrails on Mac Jones, but at some point we got to start putting some respect on this dude's name, because we are talking about a team that's won 4 straight. We got to give Mac Jones a little bit of credit for that.
I remember Mac then, most of those stouts couldn't stand him, and now those same teams are begging him to come and throw passes for their output. I couldn't rhyme the rest of it. This is Candy and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chris Candy's top 5 rolls along. What do we got here?
Let's get to number 2. Now, Gojo, this is counterintuitive for me, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I'm going to give some offensive linemen some love, and the offensive line that I want to give a shout-out to is the Detroit Lions offensive line. You were complaining about how I shaded Robert Hunt, but I'm giving love to the entire offensive line for the Detroit Lions, because they ran it up to the tune of 229 yards and 2 touchdowns on the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, averaging 5.9 yards per carry. Listen, you got to go back to week 8 of the 2020 season to see when a team, when an offense had that kind of rushing output against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's no surprise, the Baltimore Ravens, their division opponent. But, I mean, they bullied the Pittsburgh Steelers' defensive front 7, and they were one of the best in football. They didn't get the win to show for it, but I think the win for them is that they didn't ultimately lose another straight game. So they got off the schneid, they got the tie. It's kind of like kissing your sister, but it's a little bit of a win for that offensive line, the way that they dominated Pittsburgh's defense.
I don't even know what to say. I'm overwhelmed right now. Yeah. This is beautiful.
Go ahead and shed a tear. A little tear right here. All right, let's keep it moving to the number 1 spot. It's reserved for Heinicke. And I'm not talking about that green bottle with the red star. I'm talking about Taylor Heinicke, the starting quarterback for the Washington football team, man, pulling off the upset against Tom Brady and the Bucs. While the box score numbers won't wow you, the film actually will. He consistently made winning plays, and on the final drive for the football team was a prime example of that. 19 plays, 80 yards that took up 10 minutes and 26 seconds of clock and essentially iced the game for Washington. On that drive, Heinicke was a perfect 6-for-6 and accounted for 3 of the 4 third down conversions. That drive ended in an Antonio Gibson touchdown. But you got to give big love to Taylor Heinicke, who gives that Bucs defense all kinds of problems, because we saw it in the wild card game last year in Washington, Taylor Heinicke stepping in and balling. He does it again, but this time ends up getting the win.
I got to tell you, Taylor Heinicke, the home and the Washington franchise, formerly of the Hogs on the offensive line, was out there playing like a greased pig. They could not keep their hands on him. It was damn impressive. He is a worthy number 1 for Chris Canty's top 5 here. Man, a top 5 including the honorable mention from former NFL defensive lineman Chris Canty that included not 1 but 2 mentions of offensive linemen. Chris, I am overwhelmed by what we've seen. This is true unity on the show right now.
Yeah, you know this is not natural for me, but this is me extending the olive branch to you as an offensive lineman. I know O-line and D-line are adversarial, but we're working together. We're making beautiful music, beautiful radio, and so I felt like I would play to your heartstrings and put some offensive linemen in my top 5. You know it's not natural for me to actually do that, but it's also not naturally for me to live in the penthouse. I'm usually a gutter type of dude. So the fact that I'm doing the top 5 this week, I figured I'd show my big guys some love.
That is true. Chris Canty held down the top 5. I will give you the bottom 5 from the NFL weekend that was coming up here in about an hour. But coming up next, let's take all that goodwill and burn it to the ground, because it's beginning to look a lot like Thanksgiving. I'll tell you why these guys are absolutely insane when it comes to how we prep for the holiday season next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
I'm weak, bruh.
Man, rest in power to a true legend who gave us this gift.
I'm all about X's music, man, but who asked for this one, bruh? Who asked? Like, you not playing this for kids. Stop yourself.
I want, like, you know what? I don't know, man. In 2021, kids are wild now. Like, if you told me kids were getting up for Christmas morning and they threw this on to get hyped to tear into those presents, I'd believe you.
Nah, man, I don't know if I could go along with that one. Like, when it comes to rap Christmas music, I mean, Christmas Times and Hollis Queens, Run DMC, like, you get that. But, like, I don't know about DMX running through the names of all the reindeer, man. That is not Yuletide music.
Come on.
I'm sorry. I can't get down with it.
My
reindeer don't give a what? No, I'm not. No, that doesn't do it for me.
I like my reindeer barking. That's how I like my reindeer. Come on. Now, we will get to plenty of discussion about the Los Angeles Rams and their Monday Night Football loss to the San Francisco 49ers. And okay, now that our bosses have stopped listening here. So what happened earlier in this show is something that I think happens to every group of friends during this time of year, where we all look around and somebody in the friend group has the courage to go in the middle of November, maybe even the beginning of November, to put up their Christmas tree, to put up their Christmas lights and decorations.
You're already framing this.
I am not framing it.
The courage?
Listen, it takes courage to acknowledge that the Christmas season could and should, if you choose. Everyone's got a choice. But you are not wrong. You are not sick. You are not a child if you decide that Christmas, the season, can last from the start of November until, I'd say, Valentine's Day comfortably.
Listen, and we talked about this. My major problem with all of this is I can't tell you how many times I saw on social media as soon as Halloween was over on November 1st, here's my Christmas decorations. I know I'm going to, you know, piss some people off, but I don't care.
I don't understand you people, Devin. I had to go with the you people. It's just so strange to me that after Halloween is over with, everybody wants to fast forward to Christmas. And people gloss over what is the Super Bowl of holidays, which is Thanksgiving. At some point, you guys are going to have to give the turkey his flowers, man. It's the only day in the calendar that the turkey has to be celebrated. Why does everybody want to gloss over it by putting up the Christmas decorations and fast forward in a month and a half to December 25th? That part of it doesn't make sense to me. It's offensive. It's disrespectful to the turkey. It's disrespectful to everybody that's in the kitchen cooking. And I'm not here for the slander. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. And I just got to tell you guys, it's deeply disturbing the fact that some people that work on this show have no issue with it.
No, listen, I'm not saying that I have an issue with Thanksgiving. Because, Chris, I think we're speaking the same language here. I love Thanksgiving. I love a holiday that's got a built-in buffer for me to not wear pants with belts for a couple of days here because it's not physically possible, a built-in hangover day after where I don't have to go into work, and a built-in night before to go out and drink and carry on with a bunch of people that I haven't seen in a while and do all of the things that come with that. Like, it's a great stretch, but it can all happen with the Christmas stuff already up, Devin. Like, that's the part that I beef with here.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Just put up your Christmas decorations. You don't have to post about it on social media.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't feel like Thanksgiving when you have all of the Christmas decorations already up. Like, it just feels like this is something that we're doing. This is a day that we have on the way to Christmas without actually embracing the fullness that has to do with Turkey Day. That's all I'm saying, man. Thanksgiving, as you mentioned, Mike, you've got a built-in four-day block where you got nothing to do. Mm-hmm. You got all the eats. You don't have to worry about work. And nobody's really going to bother you. And the best part is you got friends and family that are all in town that you can hang out with. I don't understand why you guys want to fast forward to Christmas by putting up the Christmas decorations without fully enjoying Thanksgiving. And the perfect thing about Turkey Day is you got wall-to-wall NFL football. Mm. You get up, you know you're going to be a little late because you went out the night before. You get a little teaser, some hors d'oeuvres, some snacks, some appetizers, getting ready for the main meal. But you got football kicking off at 12:30 on Thanksgiving Day, and you don't have football going off until 11 o'clock at night. What's wrong with that? Embrace that. Thanksgiving is the best holiday in the calendar. I don't understand why you guys want to put up your Christmas decorations and skip past it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Christmas has all the pressure of trying to find the perfect gift for all of your loved ones because, you know, at this stage of the game, it's more about giving the gifts, not receiving the gifts. So I just feel like with Thanksgiving, you don't have that layer there. It's just all enjoyment. It's pure entertainment, and you have all of the good eats to go along with it. That's why I'm all about making sure that you enjoy Thanksgiving without having to worry about Christmas decorations or any of the stuff that comes along with the holiday season.
Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And I got everyone in the studio right now hyping up Chris Canny like he's bodying me in this debate or something.
I'm right, Mike. I'm not wrong.
I will tell you this. All of that can exist within the body of the holiday season. But let me ask you a question here. Just throwing like an extra turkey hand up on the wall, does that do anything for the dopamine hit right now? No. The reason that I have enacted what I now call woke Christmas, this idea that the Christmas holiday season can exist for like a 4-month period, is we live in the Northeast. It is cold and dark here all the time. Those lights and that DMX, did you see the way Chris Canty lit up when we put DMX Christmas music on here? Does Thanksgiving music do that for you? No. Now, Chris, to your point, the caveat that I want to introduce to the woke Christmas model is woke gift giving. Meaning, you don't got to put yourself under the stress of saying, once you get through the little kid phase here, because obviously Santa Claus, time honored tradition, we want to keep rocking with that. Santa's got to do his thing for the youth. But once you get above that line of demarcation, I want everyone to free themselves from the Christmas gift-giving model. You don't got to be bound by this anymore. It's the see-something, gift-something model of gift-giving. You see something for your family members in July? Don't wait till December to buy it for them. Give it to them right there and then. It's still going to hit the same, Chris. We can free ourselves from this model of doing things.
I hear what you're talking about, but I don't know if my mom or my fiance is going to go for that, and that would be the only problem. I would be on board with that. My dad and my two brothers would be on board with that, but the ladies in the family, let me tell you what ain't going to happen. Them being cool with not getting gifts on Christmas. And to compound matters for me, my fiance Mel's birthday is December 17th.
So
that's a real expensive week for your boy. So let me tell you what I can't get away with, the not giving gifts in the holiday season model, which is why I fully embrace Thanksgiving. And I let Christmas time have its time and place, but I also make sure that I'm focused on enjoying Thanksgiving, sitting back on my couch with my feet up on the ottoman, watching the games and smelling the food that's being cooked in the kitchen and getting ready to get to it when it comes to the eats. That's all I'm saying. Don't skip past that by worrying about decorations and all of this stuff in November, because it ain't time to worry about that stuff. You take care of that in December. November is for Thanksgiving. Let's focus on that. And then after that, you can put your tree up and your decorations. That's all I'm saying. That's my gameplay.
I'm just saying everyone enjoys sitting around the Thanksgiving table and having a bunch of Facebook-based vaccine conversations and discussions with your aunts and uncles. Coming up next, we'll get the definitive ruling not only on what Sean McVay needs to do to right the ship for the Los Angeles Rams, but we will get the clearest indication of who is on the side of right or wrong when we ask Dan Orlovsky about Christmas decorations. We'll do it after this word from Wendy's. Here we go. A better breakfast starts with a better biscuit. That's why Wendy's is serving hot and buttery Wendy's breakfast biscuit with bacon or sausage, egg and cheese for $1. That's oven-baked bacon, savory breakfast sausage with a fresh cracked egg and cheese on a buttery, flaky biscuit for just $1. So don't risk your biscuit someplace else. Word to Bruce Arians. Get to your nearest Wendy's drive-thru during breakfast hours and get your Wendy's breakfast biscuit with sausage or bacon, egg and cheese for $1. Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Dan Orlovsky next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Ian Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we got to head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to our next guest, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. You can catch him as a part of NFL Live Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And Dan, I do want to get into what happened on Monday Night Football with you last night, but we were just torn up in a debate around here. So you were a family man, a guy with young kids who is no doubt, you know, probably into the holidays when they come up here. How soon is too soon to start putting up the Christmas decorations, Dan?
Before Halloween. After Halloween, and I was not like this, Gojo. Like, I wasn't. I was very much so respect Thanksgiving, and you put your stuff up after Thanksgiving. But
there you go.
After, you know, the year and a half that we kind of spent in kind of alone time and difficult lifetime during COVID, like last year, my wife, kind of right after Halloween, she was like, put up Christmas decorations, please. I need, like, some happiness, so to speak, some joy and whatnot. And I was like, all right, I'm in. We did it, and I loved it. And I absolutely loved it. And I was
no,
like,
no, Dan.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Dan. Yeah. No.
Dan,
no, Dan.
This is exactly the argument I've always been making. No. If it makes you happy, why fight it?
No, I
yeah,
don't.
Yeah. Yeah, so we put our Thanksgiving stuff is still up, you know, and we don't have a ton of fall kind of Thanksgiving decorations, but Christmas goes up basically the second week in November, first or second. I start putting it up, and it's up, man, and I'm so happy about it, and it stays up until, like, January 10. So after Halloween, let it fly, man.
Dan Orlovsky, an enlightened individual, joining us here on Canty and Golic Jr.
I don't understand you people.
I always knew I loved you, Dan.
I don't understand it.
Oh, all right. Well,
COVID changed it. COVID changed it, man.
Listen, I completely understand that, man. Do what makes you happy is the motto here. Now that we've gotten the important issues out of the way here, Dan, the Rams last night here, what did Sean McVay and this outfit get away from that led to last night and the performance they had against the 49ers?
Yeah, remembering that what works best for everybody on the offense is the most important thing, not necessarily what works best for just the quarterback. You know, I think the last 2 weeks they've been exposed offensively in a very kind of specific area, Mike, and I would say the interior of their offensive line. You know, this team spends more time in empty than anybody in the NFL, meaning five wide receivers and five offensive linemen strictly as just protectors. And I think what's happened is you play good defensive lines like San Francisco and Tennessee in back-to-back games, and those three guys in the middle, the center, the guard, and center of both guards, they got beat up. They got pushed back in the pocket, and they're just not good enough versus good pass rushes. And I think Sean McVay's got to be honest. Somewhat like Bruce Arians and the Bucs were last year, and be like, hey, we got to get back to putting our quarterback under center and some play-action pass. And I think, you know, the thing is, we often say, well, let's go play action in the thought process that it's going to help the quarterback, right? And I really believe this is something that they got to get back to doing more of to help the interior of their offensive line, because right now it's the weakness of the team, the offense, and this is a way to kind of help or mask what has become the biggest weakness of this offense, is put quarterback on the center and move the pocket and move the launch point and try to help those guys with, you know, defensive linemen not knowing, okay, here comes pass, or defensive lineman having to move as they're also rushing the passer. And I think that Sean's got to be really critical of it, because I think that they're the most talented offense right along with Dallas in the NFC. And if they do that, I think it helps kind of those guys in the middle, and that'll be a really big deal for their offense.
Dan, 2 weeks ago, it was a good day for the pro Baker Mayfield crowd. This past Sunday, not so much. What exactly did the Patriots defense do to throw Baker Mayfield off his square? And is that something that's revealing in terms of what this Cleveland Browns offense needs to be moving forward?
Yeah, the first thing I'll do answering this question, Chris, is say the Patriots has played 10 games this year. One quarterback has played well against them. One, Dak Prescott. Every other quarterback has played subpar. Poor. Tom Brady played poor outside of like two third down throws in the fourth quarter. Justin Herbert, poor. I mean, they've made every quarterback look bad. So I think the context of that in relation to Baker matters, because I believe a lot of people have like, oh, Baker, it's been everybody this year, guys, outside of Dak Prescott. I think the number one thing New England has done this year, and they did it again Sunday, is they are going to attack and take away your tendencies. The things that you like to do with your personnel groupings and your formations, they're going to know. And they're gonna take it away. And then the second thing is they are going to make your role players be star players. You know, when you think about Cleveland this past weekend, you know, their star players are Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Well, I'd say this: their star players are their five guys up front. Then their star players are Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Well, they were going to make everybody but those guys weren't playing, so then they went to Jarvis Landry and Austin Hooper. You guys aren't going to beat us. So everybody else is going to have to beat them. And the really interesting thing, I think that, like, philosophically, they got in Cleveland's head as well. Not only Baker's, but Kevin Stefanski's. Mm. So in that first drive, Cleveland had 11 plays. They marched right down the field, and they scored touchdowns. 54 yards rushing. They had 7 rushing attempts, 54 yards. Guys, for the rest of the half, they had 3 more runs.
Mm-hmm.
Three. So, you know, Kevin Stefanski got away from who they are, relying on what they do best, and going, hey, I don't care what New England is doing. You 5 guys up front, we are going to win or we are going to lose because of you. And he kind of took that game away from them. So a lot of what New England did, but a lot of what New England kind of mentally forced Kevin Stefanski to just concede to.
It's a big mental test every time you strap up against a Bill Belichick team. But when they play as physical as they have this season, that's going to be a tough out for everybody involved in both aspects of that. It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas with Dan Orlovsky stopping by the show here. We appreciate you, buddy. We will talk to you very soon.
Later, Chris.
Awesome stuff again. Dan Orlovsky at Dan Orlovsky 7 on Twitter here.
Another terrible take when it comes to holiday decorations, by the way.
You know what? He explained my exact reasoning for all this, though, Chris.
I understand it in COVID world last year. I don't understand it now. Let's go back to the normalcy before COVID, which is putting up the decorations after we get past Thanksgiving, not before. Just saying.
It is time to embrace the new normal, Chris. I don't know if you've heard the new normal is the...
Okay. I'm backwards in this one. That's my bad.
Well, you know what? We'll find out the real test, Chris, because Jason Fitz is going to join us in about 20 minutes here. And if Jason is also on my side here, I'm going to have to look around and start to wonder who my friends are. So we will get to that coming up in about 20 minutes in addition to some college football playoff talk. But coming up next, we got to stare long and hard at the top of the NFC and figure out if we can figure out who is that team standing at the top of the mountain next on ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can get in touch with us on the Dr. Pepper call-in line here at Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. You can also tweet us at ChrisCanty99 and at Mike Golic Jr. See which side of the Christmas decoration debate before Thanksgiving the general public falls on here. But, Chris, the general public and really most experts have spent most of this NFL season kind of reeling, right? Because we've talked about the AFC that's been so tough to make sense of for the majority of this season. And now the NFC seems to have joined the party as of late, so much so that I looked up and hadn't really checked in a while. ESPN.com puts out these power rankings all the time. And they've got the Green Bay Packers sitting at the number one spot. And it doesn't feel wrong, Chris, to have them near the top, but it doesn't feel right to have them at number one right now either.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to describe it, right? Just because when you look at Green Bay, it's kind of been a team that's been plodding along. After that embarrassing blowout loss to New Orleans early on in the season, they seem to have gotten their act together. And the only other loss that they have on their resume was when Aaron was out with COVID and Jordan Love had to step in and they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. So it doesn't necessarily seem like they're one of those teams that you know, you don't understand why they're at the top of the power rankings. I mean, you are what your record says you are, as Bill Parcells once said, but I have a hard time processing them as the best team in the NFL. Especially, I have a hard time saying they're the best team in the conference, especially when you have the Dallas Cowboys, when you've seen how dominant that offense can be. I think the Dallas Cowboys offense is the most dominant unit in all of football. They're just that damn good. And so when they're playing at their best, like we saw on Sunday when Dak Prescott had a 127 passer rating, I don't know that there's too many teams that are going to be able to hang with them. I don't know that there are too many defenses that are capable of slowing those guys down. And we know that their defense has started to come around and complement what their offense does really, really well. So I don't know, man. It feels like Dallas is the more complete team in the NFC, but I would certainly have the Green Bay Packers in the conversation as one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the conference.
Yep, Green Bay's going to be in that conversation. Arizona, I have been slow to give the Arizona Cardinals the due that they deserve this season, Chris. And right now, health is the thing that's holding them back. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, these guys dealing with injury issues that have had Colt McCoy starting for the last two games for this team, if people haven't been paying attention to that. But on their best day, like we talk about these dominant rushing offenses at the top of the NFC that are giving teams like the Los Angeles Rams hell the way we saw the 49ers do last night, I have to throw Arizona in and make sure that they're represented. James Conner has been an absolute beast for them in the running game, a touchdown machine in that offense that we know operates because Kyler Murray can occupy so much attention, but they've got to be given their due in this conversation on any given day when they are fully healthy.
No question about it. The biggest concern is, when are we going to see Kyler Murray and what version of him are we going to get? That remains a huge question mark. In Arizona, you don't want to give away too many opportunities to stack wins and keep that cushion between you and the Los Angeles Rams, keeping in mind that you do have another date with them on your calendar in the second half. So it'll be interesting to see when Kyler gets back. But two things that end up being feathers in the cap for Arizona and for the Dallas Cowboys: they've both shown that they're capable of getting wins with their backup quarterback, and I think that speaks to the depth and the talent of the supporting cast on those rosters. With Green Bay, even though they caught an L in Kansas City, that defense played really well, so that gave them an opportunity to be in that game, to make it a fourth-quarter game. So I think you're talking about the three best teams in the NFC, and different people are going to rank them different ways. But for me, I just trust the Dallas Cowboys offense in terms of their overall dominance. When they're playing to their ceiling, I don't think that there's another unit, there's another offense that can hang with them in the conference.
Yeah, Chris, I agree with you. I'd have Dallas 1 and I'd have Green Bay 2 right now. I think Green Bay's floor, and based on what they have done roster construction-wise to weather so much at this point, earns them that much. Canny and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays to move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. The top of the NFC, they're still a clearly bunched group of teams. Did we see anything last night from the 49ers that actually makes us think they can be a playoff team, Chris? Because we know they've matched up well with the Rams. They do the thing in pounding the rock the way that Kyle Shanahan does that really gives the Rams fits right now in the middle of those lines. But can we still trust this Jimmy Garoppolo-led outfit on offense to make the playoffs?
No, we can't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think Kyle Shanahan trusts Jimmy Garoppolo. And you can see from the heat map on where he was throwing passes yesterday, like, they kept the guardrails on him. Like, he only threw one pass that was outside of the numbers and no passes beyond 15 yards from the line of scrimmage. So their head coach doesn't trust Jimmy G. Their formula is going to be, we're going to run the ball twice as much as we throw the ball. And when you can run it for 44 times for over 150 yards, that's winning. That's a winning formula in the National Football League. And if you can have your defense create the kind of ball disruption that they did in yesterday's game, you're always going to have a chance. And then when you look at the schedule that the 49ers have in the second half of their remaining games, you got five against teams that are under 500. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility to see this team win four or five games and be flirting with 8-9, 9-8. And that might be good enough for that seventh wild card spot in the NFC. So I'm not going to bury the 49ers in terms of their playoff chances, but I realized going into last night's game, they were one loss away from being Trey Day and turning it over to Trey Lance. So it seems like their playoff hopes are on life support. We'll see how the rest of the season unfolds, but the 49ers did show me something last night.
The 49ers definitely made a big statement. Shout out to Deebo Samuel, who does not get enough love league-wide for what they were able to do to Sean McVay's Rams. Coming up next, though, we've spent a lot of time debating the top of the NFL. We'll head to the top of college football in lieu or in advance of tonight's college football playoff rankings next on ESPN Radio.